Hello, Pastor Sam here. Welcome to Our City Church's YouTube channel. We're so glad to have you. If you're looking for encouraging messages, you're in the right place. Please enjoy today's message and make sure to like and subscribe and comment and share it with a friend so it can encourage them too. Now, enjoy the message for today.
Truth is, we live in some uncertain times. We live in some times that we just don't understand what's going on around us. And I said a couple weeks ago, we live in times where we need to take a stand for our faith, and we need to stand up and really believe and proclaim what we believe in. We have to take a stand and know that, I said last week, the Bible is still God's word. It's alive, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's still relevant for what we're going through in the world today. It's not, he said, all things, everything else is going to pass away, but my word will never pass away. Today, I want to ask you a question. Anybody like lists? I got the number one beautiful list maker right here. She even makes me lists. Come on, y'all like lists. Anybody like lists out there? Come on, I'll pray for you. That's okay. Y'all. I need them, though. I forget half the stuff on my list because I don't make a list. But how many likes the ESPN's top 10 list? Any sports people in the world? Come on, y'all like the bloopers. I love all that stuff, but when I start thinking about lists, you know, there's a top 10 songs of all time. And here they are, The Twist with Chubby Checker. Come on, can y'all twist? Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen. Come on, any Queen lovers in the house? Come on, whoo, Jesus. Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin. Like a Rolling Stone by Bob Dylan. Respect, got a little respect, a little bit. By Aretha. Hey Jude by the Beatles, Imagine. Smells Like Teen Spirit. I was like, where did that one come from? That one kind of sounds stinky to me. Y'all know that song? It pulled up on like 4 or 5 of my searches. I was like, what kind of stupid song is that? But then we got Billie Jean's Not My Look. Come on. And we got Johnny Be Good by Chuck Berry. Chuck Berry's got 2 in the top 10. And then Let's Get Physical, Physical. Come on. We're gonna have to pray for ourselves on that song. But many of us can memorize a song from top to bottom. You know, you can hear a song a few times and you can memorize that song. I can memorize that song until I get up here and have to sing it on Sunday. And I'm like, where's the monitor? It went down. How many of y'all can say to all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun? Come on, gonna get an amen on Big Mac there. But we remember all these things, but the most important top 10 list is often neglected, or we don't really even talk about it. During this week and the next week, we're going to be talking about some truths that we as Christians and our nation was built on. James Madison, the 4th president of the United States, says this: we stake the future of this country on our ability to govern ourselves under the principles of the 10 Commandments. The Ten Commandments are this: you shall love, you have no other gods before me. You shall not make idols. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Honor your mother and your father. I remember my mama used to say, you better honor your mother and your father. Your days are going to be shortened, because that's what the word says. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. And you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, and you shall not covet. I grew up on these. I grew up in a culture of school where we said the Pledge of Allegiance every single morning. We had prayer. We had chapel service once a week, and this was a public school. And we wonder why the world is in the shape that it's in today. And the people asking, why is God allowing everything to happen? Well, in 1980, we took them out of the schools. And in over 50 years, organized prayer was taken out of schools. Culture told God to kind of step aside. Wow. We got this. And we wonder why we're in the shape that we're in today is because we've put God somewhere on the back burner. Even we as Christians, we put him somewhere out there where we want to use him when we can, when he's convenient, come on, somebody, you know what I'm talking about. We all say in our lives, we got this. It's because, you know why? People just don't like to be commanded. You start talking about the Ten Commandments, you can tell me what to do. I don't do what I want to do. God has a top 10 list. And the lie is the church's teachings are outdated. That's Old Testament. I've heard people say, that's in the Old Testament. We're under the New Covenant. I believe the Bible is true from cover to cover. And they say it's just irrelevant anymore. But why do we need these? And I tell you today that they're still relevant. They're still, but I have people even say that's the law. We've been freed from the law. And we always talk about law versus grace. And achieving law does not lead to salvation. Instead, the law reveals our inability to save ourselves. It points us to Jesus and our faith that we need in Christ for salvation. Ephesians 2:8 says this, "For by grace," thank you for God's grace, "you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves," come on, you didn't do it, he did it. It's a gift from God. Grace is free, unmerited favor. You didn't deserve it. Aren't you so glad you didn't get what you deserve? Because if you got what you deserve, you wouldn't be sitting here today. It's a gift. But the law is meant to show us our knowledge of sin. But it's through God's grace, demonstrated by Jesus' sacrifice, that we find salvation. We couldn't do it on our own. Jesus became our mediator. He became our sin when he took on the cross. He became our advocate. He stands up in the courtroom of heaven today and said, "Rick, not guilty." When the enemy starts to bring accusations against you, Jesus stands up for you and he says, "No, they're not guilty." You know why? Because I paid the price. I died on the cross. I shed my blood for them. You don't got to worry about it no more. They're not guilty. Come on, we live our lives so many times in guilt and shame and regret. And a lot of that stuff's already gone. You talk to God, you say, "God, forgive me of this." He's like, "What are you talking about, Willis? I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't remember that. That's as far as the east is from the west." God is so good. Y'all don't even know how good God is. God is so good. I say that because we have to sometimes just remember where we were and how good God's been to us. But you know, Jesus came and he was our advocate, but he also did not do away with the laws or the commandments. Look at Matthew 5:17. "Do not think that I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth shall pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass away till the law is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called the least in the kingdom. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." We talk about law versus grace, and there's such a wide gap now. I remember growing up, I was going to hell every week. Anybody grow up in that kind of, you know, you're going to hell every week. If you said a curse word, you're straight to hell. Don't class two. Don't pass go. Don't collect $200. You're going straight there. But what we've got now is such a wide gap between the law and between grace that we feel like we can do whatever the hell that we want to do and it still be okay. Laws are put in place for our guidance and for our protection. Rules and laws and guidelines are put there in place because God loves us. John Teal told this story. I said it a couple years ago. He was talking to Summer Cade about rules and things that we needed to go by. He said, "If you had a dog, would you let it go outside and just run anywhere and everywhere that it wants to be? Or would you put up a fence to keep it safe?" She said, "I would put up a fence." "Well, wouldn't that fence be like the rules for the dog so he couldn't pass any boundaries?" She said, "Yeah. So the rules and the boundaries are for your dog because you love that dog. Not because you're angry or mad at that dog. And not that you don't want to have freedom. You want that dog to be safe." Can I tell you something this morning? God wants the best for you. He sometimes, you got to listen to this one. He sometimes says no for a reason. Come on, sometimes you got to say no to your kids for a reason. Or they're going to end up a bunch of spoiled brats. You know, God don't want a bunch of spoiled brats running around. There is freedom within the confines he set up. And we must embrace the word and know that Jesus called his people, Jesus himself called his people to a much higher standard. Jesus said, if you're angry, you're guilty of killing somebody. If you look, you're committing adultery. Oh my Lord Jesus, how are we going to go outside? He wanted them to obey the commandments, not only for their behavior, but also for their hearts and their minds. He doesn't want you just to be a robot running around, I'll do this, I'll do this, you danger Will Robinson, I'll do this. He wants us to love him with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind, and to do the right thing because you love Jesus. The more that you fall in love with Jesus, the less you'll want to do wrong. Come on, that'll preach right there. But Israel was freed after 400 years of slavery. God performed miracles. I mean, he put plagues on Egypt and he parted the Red Sea. He gave them water and food in the wilderness. And have you ever wondered why the Israelites were such whiners? Israelites. I feel bad for Moses. He led them out of slavery into freedom. He pretty much saved their lives from where Pharaoh was doing this. But they were so miserable. There was no gratitude whatsoever. I'd like to think that if God had freed me as a slave and parted a Red Sea in front of me, gave me food and water in the middle of nowhere, that I'd be just a little bit more grateful. But when the Israelites left Egypt, listen to this, they had religion. They didn't have a true relationship with God. They worshiped the gods of their fathers without a relationship of their own. I'm about to step on some toes. Often we as Christians are the same way. We go to church every week. We do what we're supposed to do, what's right. We go through the motions without ever really fully grasping what a really fully converted life and relationship with Jesus looks like. So God called Moses to the mountain and he said, here's what I'm going to do. He told him to go up there 40 days and 40 nights and I'm going to write my commandments on there. Moses comes down off the mountain and they're all acting a fool. I mean, they're worshiping an idol and they're going through these things. And Moses gets ticked off and he throws the stones down and breaks them. And God says, I'm about to kill all y'all. I'm about to kill them all. And Moses comes in the middle and says, no, God, don't, please don't. They're just dumb. Don't do this for them. And God, he punishes some of them for their disobedience. And God sent Moses back up the hill to get them again. So here we come with the place where God's laws were established. They aren't instructions on how to get out of Egypt. They are laws and guidelines to free people to not go back to Egypt. Come on, I'm going to say that again for ones in the back row. They aren't instructions on how to get out of Egypt. There are laws and guidelines for freeing people to not go back to Egypt. He had to take Moses in the wilderness for 40 years. You know the reason the intent was that? He had to pull Egypt out of Moses. He was so ingrained, it was so ingrained in him that he had to be alone with God. 40 years, we don't give God 46 minutes, 40 seconds sometimes. But things, he's trying to keep us from not going back to our slavery days. These laws are not obsolete. They are absolute. We still see the Ten Commandments as our moral and spiritual guide for his people. There are still eternal truths, no matter how many people in this culture tells us they're not the truth, they're still the truth. And the commandments are split up 1 through 4. The first 4 deal with our relationship with God. And if we can get that one right, it helps the rest of them to come in place. If we can get, I'm going to go over them here in a minute. But Exodus 21 says this. And God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Never forget. Never forget. He is your deliverer. Your job is not your deliverer. Your spouse is not your deliverer. The things that you think are your deliverer. He is the one that delivers you. He had to remind them that you were once slaves, and I pulled you out of that situation, and now I've delivered you. And he has to remind us so many times. Just like you were a slave to sin, right? He delivered you from that. Just like you were a slave to those things around you who were always carrying you, bringing you down, he's delivered you from that. This is so important that I told myself to slow down. Sometimes we just got to remember how good God is. That sounds so simple. But we're in the middle of our grumble fest. We're in the middle of our feeling sorry for ourselves fest. But we got to remember that some of you in this place right now should not be here today. But if it had not been for God's grace and his mercy, you would not be here today. Come on, can I get an amen? Some of y'all should be standing up. Some of y'all should be praising God because you should be dead. What that does, it keeps you in a place of humility and reverence and awe of the Almighty of God. Like she said, I'd lost my wonder. And sometimes we just lose our wonder. We lose our wonder because we allow so many things. We allow so many things to come in and infiltrate our minds that we forget how awesome and good a God we serve. How many of y'all shouldn't be here this morning? Oh, let me get an honest hand. How many of y'all have faced dead situations in your life? Oh, praise God. You need to get up every day when your feet hit the floor and say, God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And gratefulness is the lost start. We need to say, thank you, Jesus. I may not be where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. Sure, I need the AC on this morning. As we go through these commandments, I want you to open your heart and open your mind and remember what God has done for you. The first commandment, he asked, who is first? Culture says, thou shalt believe in thyself and love thyself with all thy being. After all, you're a really good person. We had our preaching meeting, and my lovely wife said at the bottom, she said, I don't know what translation you're using, but I don't know that that's in the Bible. So she said, that's the King James Version. I said, that ain't even the King James Version. That's the version I found online. That's just James's version. But thou shalt believe in thyself and love thyself with all thy being. After all, you're a really good person. But verse 3 says this, you shall have no other gods before me. 76% of the people said they've never broke this commandment. But it's all about God's place in your life. You've probably broken it more than you would ever know. Jesus was tempted by Satan. Jesus, the man without sin, was tempted by Satan. He showed him and offered him the whole world and said, I'm going to give it all to you. And Jesus said this, you shall worship God and him only. It's about our worship. And when we worship the right thing, it declares who God is in our life. What you worship, what you end up serving is going to come to show in your life. What you spend your time thinking about, doing the majority of your things about, the attention, is what you worship the most. God has to be the center. No one comes before God, not yourself, not your friend, not your spouse, not others, not things, not ideologies, not politics. Nothing comes between you and God. We have to have an understanding that God wants the best for you. And we're talking about the second commandment, are you an idol worshiper? I said this a couple weeks ago. It says, you shall not make, in verse 4, you shall not make for yourself any carved image, any likeness, anything that is under heaven and above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children and the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love and keep my commandments. You know what that is? That was a choice for them to obey or to disobey. The choice was not only to obey or disobey for them, it would influence the lives of their children, of their grandchildren, of generations to come. So what you're doing in your life is not only affecting you, it's affecting your future. Come on, so many times we got to understand it's not just about what we do. It's affecting what your kids are looking at. It's affecting what your grandkids will be. We got to know that, oh, Jesus. We got to know that we are the watchman on the wall. But I'm not an idol worshiper. Most people think that what the idol worship is about statues and but anything that we put before God, come on, help me this morning, is an idol. You might ask a question, what is an idol in your life? What is a God in your life? Is there a relationship that you hold on to, you hold so in high esteem? Is it ourselves? Are you on selfie mode on social media? You love yourself a whole lot? I can't. I don't really like people snapping all the time. Is it material things? Is it that thing that you hold in your hands so tight that you can't even hold your hands in prayer? Is it your job? Is it your ambition? Is it entertainment? What you spend your money on can be an idol in your life. Listen, I ain't talking bad against money. Y'all want to throw some money? Come on, I got to throw it hard. But money and possessions are not wrong if they're not your obsession. We need to learn how to invest in the right things. I'm talking about financially in the right things. The Bible says, seek the kingdom first. And all the other things, you've been seeking things. And God said, if you would seek me first, you wouldn't have to worry about the things. You want money in your life? Start giving to God. Give it to him freely out of a heart that says, okay, I'm just going to give over to you, God. You want your kids saved? You got to give them over to God and say, God, I trust in God, my Savior. I trust in you, God, that you're going to take. Oh, come on. We got kids coming home. We got relationships being restored right now. But here, let me tell you another thing. This was added to my sermon. This sounds so good. Satisfaction can become an idol. Proverbs 27:20. Hell and destruction are never full. Come on, you got this was so good I added it to it. One of my staff members put this in. I can't even get credit. So are the eyes of a man who is never satisfied. Do you find yourself, come on, it could be an idol in your life, satisfaction. Do you find yourself dissatisfied and restless all the time? You're looking at yourself and you never add up. You look at your family and you think, oh my gosh, I just don't know about that. You look at your house and say, it's never gonna be clean enough. It's never gonna be enough. You look at your church and you don't like the one you're going to, so I'm gonna go check out another one. And another one, and another one is on the way. Sometimes, there's nothing wrong with the house of God you're going to visit. There's something wrong with you. Y'all wanted the truth. The Lord showed me we got to talk about some stuff. So many people say, I'm not being fed. Well, let me tell you something. You're going to get awful hungry Monday through Saturday if Sunday's all you eat. I'm giving you one of Kay's looks. Dissatisfaction comes from what we're setting our eyes on. And you know what it does? It creates a different kind of hunger in us. A real idol never wants to push its way back from the table and say it's full. It's all about demanding more, always wanting more, never being satisfied with what you have. You all don't even know how big that hit me. Jade put that in. I'm giving her credit. That hit me so hard to know that, man, sometimes I'm just a grumbler. Sometimes I'm just a complainer. Sometimes I catch myself not being grateful. And man, I'm telling you one thing. Sometimes I'm just dissatisfied. And God says, man, I've given you so much. Why do you keep griping all the time? Come on, that's for somebody right there. That's for me. When she wrote that in there, I started repenting. Because God has been so good to me. I'm going to go on. I only got 2 hours left. Good things can become an idol if they're not managed right. Your family is not wrong, but you could make them your idol. I've seen parents make kids their idol. I've seen people make spouses their idol. I've seen girlfriends and boyfriends become an idol in somebody's life. But they can be dangerous when we worship these things because they can go away. And here's the thing. God is the thing that you should worship because he ain't going nowhere. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. The Bible says he's a jealous God. When you're married, you don't go on dates with other people. You still should go on dates, but with your spouse. It's not reasonable for you to go on a date with someone else when you put a ring on it. It's not acceptable. When you accept Jesus, you are his bride. You are married to him. And he wants an exclusive relationship. He don't want to share you. He don't want you cheating on him. He don't want you dating around no more. He said, I am the one. In a relationship on Facebook with me, and it's legit. Let me go on. Simmer down. You're not telling me to slow down. I must be doing okay today. Third commandment. Oh, you got to hear this one. What you say matters. Verse 7. I'm going to tell you how I used to think this was. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. In vain means producing no results or useless. Using in a frivolous way, don't ever misuse his name. And I'm not just talking about, I'm going to help somebody this morning. If you use the name of Jesus other than not glorifying him, you're not glorifying him. I had people say, I've heard people say, Jesus Christ, when they're mad. They're not glorifying him. I've heard people, the worst word I ever, is GD. I can't stand that word. Or when you sometimes say, oh my God. I'm trying not to be too hard on you this morning, but sometimes we have to understand. I used to say this when I was a kid. I swear to God. The Bible says don't swear falsely. So you better watch out what you're swearing to God because he may hold you to it. I saw this when I was like, are you serious? But it does bother me sometimes. I'm just believing in the man upstairs. That's a God. That's my God. That is the God. That's the holy God. But culture says this. Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. I mean, really, is Christian such a narrow-minded term anyway? Just let's discard all these stereotypes and labels, and we're all on the same spiritual journey anyway, aren't we? When you start talking about the name Christian, and you're interested in the phrase, you take his name in vain, that is you identify yourself with him. If you live outside of your identity with him and your purpose, you're taking his name in vain. I know, this is deep. When you call yourself a Christian and you don't live your life not just professing God, everybody, Everybody talks about going on the journey with Jesus. I'm talking about when you are somewhere and you are professing your Christianity, does your life reflect what you're saying? If it does not reflect what you're saying, you're taking the name of Jesus in vain. It really means how we live out his name. We are blessed to have an identity in Christ. We are blessed to know that we are not just Christians, but we are Christ-like. Christian means Christ-like. Didn't know if you knew that or not. But if we go out acting a fool in the world, ain't nobody gonna want what you got. You've been coming here long enough. If you walk around with a frown on your face and you look like you just sucked on a lemon, ain't nobody wants what you got. We ought to be the most, we ought to be the happiest people in the world because we have a hope. We have Jesus in our hearts. And y'all, I've seen so many people walking around in doom and gloom and what do you do? Well, I go to church and I'm a Christian. Well, you just sure don't act like one. I know this is hard stuff. The world is watching you. Your family is watching you. Your job, your boss is watching you, how you act at work. Are you complaining all the time? I will say something about Mark. He works for me. I don't know that he's ever really complained anything. I don't know that he's really complained that much. But what you do around other people really does matter. And how you carry yourself can tarnish God's name that you carry. It does matter what we say. It does matter what we post. It does matter how we act. Life happens. How long? Here's another thing. How long are you going to carry that chip on your shoulder? I had this one Thursday. How long are you going to carry that thing that you've been carrying, that chip on your shoulder, that one, I'm just going to be what I want to be because they did this to me. You have to let it go. You have to forgive. That's a hard one sometimes right there. You have to be able, or you'll always carry that thing with you everywhere that you go. And you cannot let your light so shine before men if you've carried a chip or if you got your light under a bushel. God, he wants to free you of what you're carrying. But you also have to be able to give it to him and lay it down at his feet. Whew, help me, Jesus. People who say, oh, here's a good one. I'm going to get myself in trouble. People who say, God said. You better learn how to discern who you're talking to when they say, God said. I've had some people come up to me, well, God said this about you. And I was at the end of it, I'd be like, no, he didn't. That wasn't even close to what God has said about me. You're going to be a missionary to the ends of the world. And I'm like, I ain't never been to the ends of the world. You really got to be careful about being around people. Come on, y'all are not, some of y'all are nodding your head. You know what I'm talking about. Everything is what God said. I used to have God work for me. And every day he said, the Lord spoke to me today about you. I said, man, ain't he got nobody else to talk about? Every day it can't just be about Richard. I was trying to help everybody else out, not take all the blessings in for me. Because they can say some crazy stuff. And some of that stuff just ain't even the truth. Be careful when you say God said. If I ever tell you, and I ain't talking up myself or nothing. If I ever tell you to listen to what I'm saying, because I feel like the Lord is saying this to me. I'm not a prophet. You better listen to what I'm about to tell you. Because God don't come to Richard. He doesn't speak to me in dreams and visions. But there's times when he speaks to me about certain situations. And that's when I have to open my mouth. So if I ever tell you something, I feel like the Lord, I will never tell you something that I don't feel like God has said. Because I don't want to take his name in vain. I'm going to go on. We're going to be here all day. Fourth commandment. We need to rest and reverence. Exodus 20 says this, Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh is a Sabbath unto the Lord. In it you shall do no work, nor your sons, nor your daughters, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor the stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and earth, the sea, and all that is within them. And he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and he hallowed it. When we talk about Sabbath, what is the Sabbath day? Jewish is more Saturday, the more our culture, our religion more is more Sunday. But it's a day holy set aside for God. Churches today would argue that most of the commandments are still important, but the Sabbath is kind of old school. The New Testament shows that the apostles continue to remember the Sabbath. Look at Hebrews 4:9. There remains therefore a rest for God's people. People live for the weekend, but the weekend doesn't refresh. Wow. Come on. How many go at the end of the weekend and you're more tired than you started on Friday? I don't know what you've been doing, but you're more tired. People live for the weekend and then they're so weary. Monday mornings come and they just don't know how to act. But why is this the problem? The problem is there is no true Sabbath. A true Sabbath is the absence of work. Again, I'm not trying to be straight guidelines. There's things that you have to do sometimes. You know, he told Pharisees, you got to pull your ox out of the ditch sometimes when they get in the ditch. But when it becomes a day, whatever day, there's people that don't use Saturday or Sunday. They'll use a day during the week as their Sabbath because it works out better for them. That's fine. It's a gift of God. It's a day to relax. Naps are from Jesus. It's a day. We should live our lives worry-free, stress-free, but it's a day to really say, God, you got this. It's a day to rebuild our strength and lean on Jesus to carry us through another week. The Sabbath is a day of reverence, respect, and esteem. Culture says honor the Sabbath by attending church whenever you feel like it. Only attend church that can keep you entertained. Make sure the preaching's relevant. It doesn't really have to be from the Bible. Just make sure it's good. That's not what God says. God doesn't ask for much for what he gives. The Sabbath commandment says this: how to love God the way he wants to be loved. The Bible says assembling together. It's biblical not to forsake the gathering. It's biblical for you to be here at 10:30 on Sundays. It's biblical for you to be here. You know why? Because I need you and you need me. You're sitting next to somebody that may be having a bad week. You need to hear how you can pull your week together. It says don't forsake this gathering. It's showing him a priority. It's corporately worshiping, thanking God for all he's done together, getting lost in his presence. And the Bible says we live in the image of him, so we need to set a time for him. If y'all would stand with me, please. I want you to know something this morning. God cannot love you more. We got one more scripture. Romans 8:38. For I am, you gotta just let this one soak in. For I am persuaded. I'm persuaded. Do you know who was saying I'm persuaded? A man who had been beaten, a man who had been shipwrecked, a man who had all kinds of bad things happen. He says, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor anything present, nor things to come, nor height or depth, and any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Ten Commandments are important for another reason. They point our need for forgiveness of God. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, is what the Bible says. And truth is, we can put them out there and we can't live them all perfect. But when Jesus came, he took the sin. He took the strife. He took all of our shame and our guilt and our things that we still hold on to, and he nailed it to the cross. He covered it under the blood so we don't have to worry about it anymore. The truth is, you can't let your past keep holding you back. The truth is, today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next week, not when you're older, when you can't have fun anymore. Today is the day of salvation. You are not guaranteed. James, it says life is a vapor. It's here today, gone tomorrow. When you talk about tomorrow, tomorrow may never come. I know this is heavy this morning, but I believe we can walk out of here and we can walk into eternity not knowing who Jesus Christ is. This morning, if you've never given your heart over to Jesus, I'm going to ask you, would you bow your heads with me? There's going to be a prayer team on the left and the right up here. But I really want you to respond to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you this morning. Maybe you know that the words that I'm saying to you are hitting you right now in the heart, going, you know what? Maybe you've never taken that first step to say, okay, God, I need a Savior. I need you to forgive me. But I also just heard the Lord say, maybe you've been half saved. And I know that's some theologians are going to have, but living our life neither hot nor cold, living it right down the middle, living it, playing it safe, but never trying to do the things we know we're supposed to be doing. Maybe you're living your life that way, and today is the day that we say, okay, God, I fully want you to forgive me for the idols that I've put up in my life. Maybe I'm putting something, there ain't no maybe, I've put things in front of you. I put things way ahead of you. And now today, I want to release that to you. And that could be your heart. That could be your heart this morning. God says, I want your heart. I want all of you. I don't want to just date anymore. I want us to be married. This morning, as I get ready to sing a song, let's marry Jesus. Let's fully give our hearts over to him. If you've never done that the first time, this is the best time. Today is the day of salvation. And maybe you've just been going through the motions and feeling like this is just what I do. God is calling us, God is calling the church to a higher standard than it's ever been before. Do you know why? Because we're going to have to stand in the face of adversity. We're going to have to stand in the face of not being very, I can't even think of the word I'm trying to come up with right now. We're going to have to stand when all around us are falling. And it's not popular. But Jesus was very controversial. He wasn't popular. Everybody was trying to kill him everywhere he went. This morning, I want you to give your hearts over to Jesus. And not just say a prayer and hopefully it'll go through. I'm talking about a heartfelt prayer to God. Say, God, I need you this morning. I need you every day. Tear down the idols in my life. Help me, God, to reverence the things that you want me to reverence. These altars are open for you this morning in Jesus' name.
If you made it this far, we just want to tell you that we are so blessed that you took the time out of your day to spend it with us. We love you so much. And if you want more resources, please go to rcitychurch.online. We love you so much. Have a good one.